Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 83rd episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan. With me, as always, I got Joe.
What's up?
And we got special guest, Steve Vidya.
Steve, hey, how's it
Vidya,
going?
I guess. Not
Steve
Vidya.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the people about what you do? Because I don't know if you do too much YouTube stuff now, but you also have a podcast and a stream, so...
Yeah, I do a few things. I have a podcast, a weekly podcast, where I talk about cartoons with a few friends. And I also have a part of ReRez YouTube channel. I do some Twitch stuff, something called the Late Night Lounge. It's kind of like Adult Swim meets Twitch. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I also actually started up a stream on his Twitch channel like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you're doing some game design stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm making a game with my friend Christina. She does all the art, I do all the programming.
Sweet, I haven't gotten a chance to personally like check
yeah.
it out yet. Usually I'm at work or doing something.
Yeah, she works contract jobs and I'm unemployed, so... The middle of the day seems to be a really good time for us. And, like, I'll start messaging people because, like, one of the things that we like to do is bring on someone who doesn't really know anything about, like, the artistic process, like, of creating game art. And we like to bring someone on who doesn't know how to program or, like, how to make a video game, like, doesn't know the flow to it, so that they can ask questions, right? Because, like, if I'm just sitting there programming, then, like, I'm just not going to talk at all unless someone's, like, talking at me.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing for her. And like the last stream that we did, we didn't have anyone on with us. And it was just basically me listening to music while I programmed for 2 hours. And like that would be so boring to watch. But like it's hard for us to find someone because we're just like, it's Tuesday at like 1 o'clock. Let's do a stream. And like
yeah.
no one's available.
It's not exactly the best time to do a stream. Unless you get somebody maybe from, like, the UK or something like that. It's a little later in the day for them.
There's yeah. actually a lot of people who watch between, like, 12 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Like, over from the UK at that time?
No, just
oh, like here.
From the States, yeah.
Yeah, well, when I say one, I mean, like, one in the afternoon. So it's, like, a lot of people are at work.
Work or school or yeah something like yeah. that
yeah that's the thing that we've been running into. We get like a whole 6 viewers. It's pretty awesome. Shane was on the first time, so we got like 20, but yeah. So what else do you do besides like that podcast and Late Night Lounge?
Not too much. I mean, a lot of my time is taken up by new job working for ScreenWave. Other than that, there's not really too much else that I do besides, you know, play video games in my spare time. I've been playing a crap ton of GTA 5. It has completely consumed my free time.
What like, are you playing it on?
I had it PC. I had it on PS3. I got it when it came out because I was like super hyped for it. And then... nobody I know had it on PS3. Everybody had it on 360. So I was like, well, you know, this sucks. GTA is fun, but it's more fun when you're playing with people. So now that I got it for PC, I've been playing it with a few friends, and it has been, like, just an insane amount of fun playing online. Like, the first night it came out, I had it preloaded onto my computer, which took forever. It's like a 60 gig plus file. And, I lost about 6 hours. It felt like a half hour had went by, but it was like 6 hours. I look at the clock, it's like 4 a.m. I was like, oh my god, what did I do?
Yeah, that happened to me last night by accident. I was like, it's 11 o'clock, I'll play City Skylines for like an hour and go to bed because I actually have to get up in the morning on a Saturday. And then like I was like, oh shit, it's 4 a.m. Oh my god, I have to podcast in like 8 hours. And then like I got up at 11 and I was like, oh my god, podcast in an hour. Oh fuck.
Don't worry, Your Skype call woke me up.
Well then.
I was like, hey, I made sure I was awake for this. I mean, it is like 3 o'clock my time, so I better be awake at this point.
It's 3 o'clock my time too.
Yeah, it's 12 my time, but see, I just started playing City Skylines, and that game is such a it's a time vampire. You just like you sit down and you can't play it for less than like 3 hours.
I've heard a lot of good things, and I've thought about picking it up, but those kind of games aren't necessarily my thing. So,
like, yeah, but this one's the right price is the thing. Like, it's not the full $60 investment. It's only $30, and it has a really solid modding scene. So, like, you're not buying DLC because people are just, like, making stuff for it. Like, new buildings, new mechanics, everything. So,
I might have to eventually get it. It does look like it's a pretty good game, and I've heard nothing but praise for it.
Yeah, it's like the one video game that I've been playing basically consistently. So, but is the GTA 5 PC port any good? I didn't play GTA 5, but I heard not good things about it the first day that it released on PC.
The main issues that people were having on day one was the preloading, and because of its preloading, you know, before time, you downloaded the whole, like, I think it's 58 gig when you download it, which is insane.
That's, and then that's not that bad. The new Wolfenstein game is like 70.
It shouldn't have been, though. But anyway, it has like this encryption. So then on day one, you needed to download a patch that like broke the encryption on it so that you could actually play it, which took forever. It's like a 200 megabyte download, so that doesn't take long, but it took
the decrypting takes a long time. It's really CPU intensive.
2 hours to do.
Yeah, that makes sense with that amount of data.
It was insane. And then after that,
but that's way faster than downloading the 58 gigs again.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And then after that, it needed to like uncompress itself from that 58 to like 60 something, so that took forever. It took a really long time to actually be able to play the game. And but once you actually get into it and the game is running, I have not run into a single issue. It runs smooth, and I have like a pretty dated computer at this point. I can only run it on about medium, but no frame drops. It runs so nicely. Like, I'm really impressed, especially after playing GTA 4 on PC,
which was like a disaster. Mess.
Yeah.
Like, it was unplayable for so long.
Yeah, so much nicer than 4 does. So I'm like super excited that they didn't screw it up.
Yeah, I think that the thing that happened day one with GTA 5 is that like the Rockstar social thing went down. So like people couldn't do some things.
Oh, okay. That's how you like join people's games and shit like that, like friends, and do all the crew members and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I think it ended up blocking out some single player content.
Oh.
As well, when it went down. So
I honestly haven't even touched the single player yet.
Well then. So is like GTA 5 pretty much the only game you've been playing right now, or?
Yeah. There's lots of games that I like that are on my list, my backlog, but I just haven't gotten to them yet. I've just been either busy or playing GTA. That's pretty much been my life.
Yeah, I'm working pretty hard to clear out my backlog right now so that I can play The Witcher next month.
Oh, yeah, I bet you're getting crazy for that.
Dude, it's so close. It's so close.
Are those games good?
Until they delay it.
Well, no, the thing is that it's already been delayed like several times, but when they delayed it, they did it before a month until release, because we're like 3.5 weeks away from release. So there's no way they're going to delay it again. There's just no way. It's not going to happen.
Just think tomorrow they're like, yeah, we're delaying it until fall.
I'll fucking just go run out into the highway naked. Like, I'll just be so mad. I'll go insane. I can't handle it, man. But yeah, those games were fantastic. Number one is a little rough. The game play mechanics aren't very good. in number one. But that was also that company's very first video game. Number two, which is their second video game, is fantastic. Like, one of the best RPGs, hands down. It does choice better than anyone else does choice, and I think that's kind of the biggest thing, is that game, it has a ton of decisions. All of them significantly change the narrative, and they're not black and white. Like, none of them are black and white. There's always a consequence for your choice.
None of them are racist.
I might actually have to
actually,
try
lots
it then.
Of them are racist.
Because I actually own, I think both of them I got from like summer sales, like super cheap.
Yeah,
and then
they
just never went and played it.
Yeah, I would play Witcher 2 and not Witcher 1. Because if you play Witcher 1, then what's going to happen is you're going to go, I don't like this, and then just not play either of them, whereas 2 is quite good. And if you get like invested enough in the story from 2, just go back and play 1.
Yeah,
but like, what happens in number one is not. They do a good job of filling you in on what you need to know. So,
okay, I might actually have to install it and try it then.
And then Witcher 3 is just looking like the best Western RPG ever. Like, they're like, yeah, we built a world that's 30 times the size of Skyrim, and like, we have all of these crazy decisions. We have 3 huge different main story quests, like. When I say, like, I mean, like, storylines. Like, the world, when you're playing it, is constantly progressing. And so if you're, like, following one of the main storylines, the other 2 storylines will progress to a point where you can't do them anymore. Because, like, the game is actually still making progress, like, narratively, even if you're not pushing that storyline along.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you'd have to, like, just completely start a new file if you wanted to try all 3 storylines separately.
That's what it sounds like. So
I guess that's good for replay value.
Yeah.
Actually,
I mean,
that is good for replay value.
Yeah, and the thing is, the way that they've pitched those storylines is like, they're not short. Like, each of them is a full game.
Damn.
It's just about like what you want to do based on your decisions, because like the rest of that series, you're making a decision that has like significant consequences. So, I'm pretty excited about that game.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Might actually have to play the series.
I think they said it's like 100 gigs.
Oh my god. I need a new hard drive. Like,
it would take me 4 weeks to download that.
Start your preload now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited for that game. So.
Except I don't really have to buy it, because I know you get it. So I'll just wait until you go to sleep and then get it from your library.
I just won't sleep in May. You can play it in in June.
Yes, because March comes after May.
Shut up, I don't know my months.
I wish March came after May, because then it'd be my birthday again.
Yeah. I'd be in school again. But then again, at the very beginning of May, I go back to classes anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm finished on the 21st. I go back on the 1st of May. Engineering.
Yay!
Yeah, we run a full year. We do 3 full semesters. Only department that does it. But, yeah, Witcher 3, man, it's close. It's close. The hype is real. So, Joe, what have you been playing?
I have been playing the shit out of Terraria recently. It was one of the free with gold Xbox 360 games. So me and a bunch of friends got it, and we've been playing the crap out of it. And I'm loving it. I got the game a long time ago, and I started playing it, but I didn't get into it. But now that I have friends playing it, I got like super into it. Like grinding for N-tier stuff and all that. It was great. And then I recently beat Titan Souls, which is really good. The game turned out really well.
Yeah, they just released it on the wrong day.
Yeah.
They released it against Grand Theft Auto V for PC and Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
That is the way to make your game popular. Release against 2 of the biggest releases of the month.
Yeah, I didn't even know that it had come out until like 3 days later. But it's great. It feels great. It is short. Like I beat the main story in like 3 hours.
That's not that bad. Like the thing about that game is that it's kind of like it's supposed to be like 2D Dark Souls. Like the idea is that it's really hard, and so if you manage to like pick up on what that like what the loop is and master the loop, then you'll just finish the game like real quick. But if you don't pick up on it, then you're just hitting your head against a wall.
That's what it was for some of the bosses.
I've been wanting to like actually really try that one, but just haven't really had the time. It definitely looks like it's going to be a cool game. I love games like that, you know, that's super hard shit. Yeah. But just haven't had the time to play it yet.
I was a huge fan of Shadow of the Colossus, so it was a nice like comeback to it a little bit. But it definitely wasn't the same. It was definitely more Dark Souls-y.
Yeah, that's what it like looks like. It just looks like it's super tough.
Yeah, it is. If you get hit once, you die instantly. The nice part, though, is that any boss dies in one hit, too.
Yeah, that's why you have the one arrow, right? So
yeah.
Just he seems ill-prepared.
Then you can use that arrow. You can like suck it back towards you with another move. So you can continuously reuse that arrow easily. But like to suck it back to you, you have to be standing still. So they use it in some cool mechanics where you can shoot your arrow and then you suck it back and you can hit the bosses from the behind and kill them that way. And there's some bosses you have to kill that way. So it works pretty well with the mechanics and they figure out nice ways to use it.
That sounds more interesting than everything else that I saw about that game. Because I didn't know about, like, the sucking the arrow back to, like, change his projection and then, like, actually hit the person from behind. Because everything that I've seen was just, don't shoot the arrow until you know it's going to hit.
And
that just wasn't enough of a loop for me.
No, you have to be standing still to shoot. And then once you shoot, you can either run and pick up your arrow, or you can hold the C button and or the whatever button, and it'll suck it back towards your character. And then once it gets to you, you'll pick it up and you can shoot it again. But you have to be standing still while you do that, so make sure you're not in a point in time where the boss is going to fuck you up instantly.
It sounds like a lot of fun, to be honest. I think it's a game I would definitely enjoy.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I should check that game out more, but I don't know if I'm going to have time because there's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I also played Minecraft a little bit recently for the first time in a long time.
I've been getting back into it myself.
There's a lot of dumb stuff in that game.
Yeah, but there always was.
Yeah, but I mean,
did they ever fix mods after Bucket went down?
I have no clue.
Because like,
I'm assuming so, because I was playing on servers that seemed to be working fine.
All right, because I was like literally had a job making mods with Bucket, and like we finished this huge project. It was like this huge crazy RPG, fucking massive, took months, and then Bucket like fell apart and was like, okay, I guess this fucking thing is just never gonna come out.
I think Bucket is back now, because I just recently got a Minecraft server so I could for something I have coming up in the future, and one of the options for mods on it is Bucket.
Yeah, like Bucket got DMCA'd last summer. After
why, like, did that happen exactly?
It turned out that people, Mojang wasn't really quite upfront about Bucket being owned by Mojang, and then they decided to enforce the end user license agreement about microtransactions on Minecraft servers, and a bunch of Bucket developers were like, well, then if you're going to say that we can't do this anymore, then you can't use our code anymore. And DMCA'd Bucket. And like 90% of Bucket had to be rewritten.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah, that sounds pretty miserable. I've been using, like, custom launchers and stuff like that.
Well, the thing that happened with Bucket, though, is that it wasn't being updated alongside Minecraft anymore. And so Minecraft had a new version release, and Bucket just didn't work. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gotcha.
I was playing on servers like an MMORPG server and a few other servers, and they all were working with mods and stuff, so I'm assuming Bucket's back.
Yeah, well, there was another thing that was going to be made called Sponge, I think.
Sponge.
Yeah.
That's a dumb name.
As if Bucket isn't also dumb.
But I started Minecraft again, and it has some really dumb stuff in it, like weird blocks. Like granite and stuff that's not even used for anything.
It's all just decoration and shit, man.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb. And
you need decoration.
I don't know. I started playing Minecraft and I was playing Terraria and I was like, maybe I can play Minecraft and I'll get into that. And I started it and I was like, this is fucking dumb. Like just instantly, I was like, this is not cool. I got really bored of it within like. I started the game, I found coal, I found iron, I found diamonds, and then I got bored. That was literally the progress of how I played that game.
In order to make Minecraft really, like, something interesting, you have to, like, play with people and set goals outside of just, you know, the typical vanilla Minecraft.
Yeah.
And preferably use mods. It's, like, the only way I find it to be, like, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Minecraft is that it's not much of a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I had been playing it with my girlfriend a little bit, and it was more enjoyable that way for sure.
Yeah, but everything's more enjoyable that way.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed Terraria as a game itself a lot more, because, like, there's so much more to do, bosses and upgrading your weapons to better stuff and special events. The game's getting a super update soon too, so I'm excited for that, which means I'll probably have to play the PC version and get leveled up in the PC version.
Is that about it for video games for you, Joe? Or
I started playing Diablo 3.
I feel like I should get the expansion for that because I want to play that type of game, but
yeah, I got the expansion for it and I got the game for it when it was on sale for like 50% off.
When was it on sale?
It was on sale a while ago. It might still be on sale.
Probably not. It's okay.
Yeah, but I've been playing it and it's good. I like it. I hate that. I hate the always online for it though.
Yeah, well, it was like built in.
Because of my crappy internet, sometimes single player lags for me, which is just not cool.
Well,
but
the internet like requirements for games is really low. Like that game would literally send kilobytes, not like per minute.
Yeah.
So that would be like that could be your computer or packet loss. So, like, it could be your internet is bad, like, in a way where it's just not stable and can't send small amounts of data consistently, or your computer is just, like, lagging.
No, it was definitely my internet, because it fixed itself after a while, but it was like I would click the attack button, and then an attack wouldn't come out until maybe, like, a half a second or a second later.
That would just drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is no good for that game.
It ended up fixing itself after a while. But I've been playing a single player a bit, and I got to, like, level 10. And then I've been playing it with friends, and they, like, super grinded me to, like, level 70. And I've been doing some, like, tier stuff and, like, rifts with them.
Is that about it then?
Yeah, I think that's it.
So I've been playing a couple of video games. I'm playing a lot of Pokemon, strangely. Actually, I hurt my wrist. I was playing too much 3DS, and it like I already have this wrist injury. I
Too
know
much
this sounds
love
so
centers.
dumb. I hurt myself playing too many video games, but like the 3DS is slightly too heavy, and like you have to like bend your wrist slightly forwards when you like you're using that thing to keep it on an angle. And I ruptured my wrist like several years ago at like punching someone in the face. By the way,
Ow, Ryan.
I
That's
compete in
rude.
kickboxing, so like it
Oh, okay,
makes
never
sense why I
mind.
was punching someone in the face. But like
Okay. Yeah, I
if you
forgot.
like if you're watching the video version, you can see like I have this huge fucking lump on my wrist, and that's like from the rupture, because there's this like little sack of fluid in your wrist, and it's used to like lubricate the joint. And if you rupture it, then the fluid leaks out into the rest of the joint, kind of like how you get like water in your knee. It's the same thing. And
Gross.
like, so my wrist is all fucked up all like already, and so that wrist is now like even worse because I was like holding it straight, like funny playing 3DS and like strained it.
That's gross.
Because buying a
But that's
3DS
what
was like the
happens when you
worst
play.
thing for my sleep cycle, because I just like get into bed and then just play fucking video games for another 6 hours instead of going to sleep.
That's what happens when you put like 15 hours a day into Monster Hunter 4.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. Like, I hurt myself playing too much Monster Hunter, and then I continued, and then I was like, I can't play any more Monster Hunter because like I also have this fucked up thumb, and the thumb started to get sore, so I was like, I have to. It doesn't sit in the joint right because I dislocated it punching someone in the face. But I had a lot of injuries on this one arm. The other one's perfectly fine. Don't ask me how that worked out. But basically my thumb started to get sore, so I switched over to Pokemon because it's slower, and then my wrist, then I hurt my wrist. But
That's a goddamn mess.
yeah, that's no good.
You
But
need to get Kid Icarus and then just take out the stand that comes with it and just put your 3DS on that and play with that.
no.
It'll save your wrist.
It's fine. I just stop playing for like 6 hours a night when I'm supposed to be sleeping.
Are you sure that's possible?
Yeah. I haven't played Monster Hunter in like all week. I haven't played Monster Hunter in 2 weeks. But I've been busy with other stuff, like my ray tracing competition thing. I built this crazy ray tracer. If you don't know what a ray tracer is, just look it up on the internet. It's gonna take too long to explain. But I made a very small picture out of it, and it took 11 hours to render, and it was the only thing running on my computer, like my big ass desktop. Not like, yeah.
I wonder how long that would take to render on my crappy laptop.
If you can't run 8 threads, a really long time. But yeah, so I've been working on this ray tracer for like the last month. I finally finished that, and that has given me more time to play video games. So I bought Mortal Kombat X.
Do you have it for PC?
Yeah, for PC.
Did you
How was
try the
that?
mods that let you play as Baraka and Rain?
No.
Ah.
I only just started playing it yesterday, and yesterday, so I installed it using that Steam streaming install, which was the thing that was causing it to be all fucked up on launch day. However, there's like, yeah, for whatever reason, this feature is really half-baked in Steam. Here's how you install everything. And I installed everything. I played for about an hour and a half, went to go get some food, came back, and it was a 15 gigabyte patch. So then an hour and a half after that, I finally got to play again. And that 15 gigabyte patch seemed to fix a lot of things, like frame rate wise.
That's good.
So the PC version of that seems really, really solid. I haven't played the online, but everything else seems really good. Also, I bought my CD key from a not Steam, and it came with Goro. So, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
So I got a pretty big discount on the game. Plus I got Goro. I think I got it for like $30 instead of 60, but it included Goro. So 30 instead of 65. It's actually the first time that I've ever used like an online CD key, like reseller, because I was like, I've heard this game's really broken. Like, I don't want to pay $60 for it if it's still broken. Because the problem is that, like, a million news articles came out on launch day, and they're like, the game's super broken, unplayable, don't buy it. And then, like, a couple of, like, a day later, there were a few tweets where, like these problems are fixed. I was like, okay, but what about all these other problems? And, like, no one had an answer for me, even though they're, like, playing the game. But also, I don't know anyone else personally who had it for PC. So I took the risk and I bought it.
Was it worth it in the end?
I haven't played the online, so I can't really say yet, but the fatalities are super gross. I love Goro's fatality. He has one called Peekaboo where he like grabs a person by their head, shoves their head down into their torso, and then he rips off their like stomach. Like the front part of their body, like he rips it out off, and then you see their face in the body, and they fall over.
Jesus Christ!
And their head's just like in the body. It's really funny. So that game is still really, really good if like extreme violence is funny to you. It's funny to me, so. But that game's like, it's really good. So I guess we might as well bring this up now because I was going to mention it at some point. But that game feels like it's really poorly monetized. Well, not poorly monetized, unfairly monetized. Like in a way that a $60 game shouldn't be. Because.
You mean with the microtransactions?
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. So the game has a $30 season pass for four characters, and then it has a $20 pass to to unlock everything in the crypt. The crypt is back. It's in the other Mortal Kombat games. Basically, you collect coins by playing the game, and then you can unlock these tombs. And the tombs contain skins, they contain brutalities, alternate fatalities. And, like, that's about it. And then they also sometimes contain these coins, or these tokens that you can use to perform what they refer to as an easy fatality, which is basically, like, hold this trigger, press this button, and the fatality happens. Mm-hmm. Not that the fatalities are, like, actually hard, because you knock the guy out, and then it says, finish him, and you can't do anything, so you just pause it, go to the menu, look up what the fatality is, mark it as a favorite so it displays on your screen, unpause it, and then do the fatality because it's on the screen. Like, it's really easy. And if there's a character that you're maining, like, you're going to memorize it pretty quick because it's one move. So it's not like they're 20 button combinations. They're like three buttons. So it's not that hard.
Yeah.
But, The easy fatalities just seem dumb because they seem exploitative. Like, they shouldn't be there in this type of a game because they put them, like, they rub them in your face, like, buy these. But there's not really, like, a purpose to it because the fatalities, like, it gives you a small bonus, basically, in coins and fighter experience. But, like, you don't need to perform fatalities. So it just seems dumb that, like, they're pushing these tokens at you.
Yeah,
it seemed definitely weird when I first heard that there was those microtransactions in Mortal Kombat. Like, I don't know, it just seemed like something the game didn't need, but I understand it because a lot of games are doing it now, seeing Assassin's Creed doing it.
Yeah, but, and like, who buys that? Like, who bought the currency?
I don't know.
In Assassin's Creed,
I feel like a lot of people probably did, and it probably worked really well because there's some people who just will buy it because they have money, and
yeah, but
or
game
because
was, like,
their
totally
kids and their
up.
Parents are, yeah. I don't know. I really hope it doesn't work really well, so they stop doing it.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Go back to the nice, like, you know, old school days, N64, PS1, where like if you do something really good in the game, then you unlock stuff instead of having to buy it.
Yeah,
I remember Mortal Kombat 3, fucking trying your ass to unlock smoke.
Yeah. The other thing that I was going to say about Mortal Kombat X is that it like pushes characters on you in a way that is like not cool. So if you go to the character selection screen, for example, and you don't have Goro unlocked, then if you mouse, like if you put the cursor over him, it's like press Y to buy Goro. And if you're on the main menu, it's like press Y to buy Goro. Like
Jesus.
Like you're in the main menu of the game and it's just like press Y to buy Goro. And it's just like, calm down, like you don't need to be throwing him at my face all the time. Like, I'll buy him if I want to buy him. We all know that he's in the game, that he costs $5. Like, calm your shit.
Yeah, that's a little much, I think.
Like, it's irritating is what it is. And the thing is, I own Goro, so why are you telling me to buy him? Like, that's even worse. The fact that I own him and it's still there.
Yeah, that's just scummy, I think is the word.
And like this week, so they have these like living towers, and there's a weekly tower, a daily tower, and an hourly tower, and they're a challenge basically, and you're supposed to try to beat them, and it's just like playing against the AI. And the weekly tower for this week, you have to play as Goro. So if you don't own Goro, you can't play it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
They really want you to buy Goro, spend that extra $5.
Yeah. So, like,
yeah, that's,
it's pretty fucked up. However, the game itself is really good, is the thing. Like, it's really good. The fatalities are fantastic, and, like, it's so worth playing.
It's just a little unfortunate to hear about they're shoving in this just the DLC and stuff like that, that really should have just been part of the game. That one character they couldn't put in the game, they really need to get an extra $5.
He was like a pre-order bonus, and then there's another four characters that cost $30, and
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and some of them aren't even Mortal Kombat characters. It's like the Predator and Jason.
Yeah, you got like Predator and Jason.
Yeah. Like, I don't even want to play those characters. Like, that's dumb. However, I think one of them is Tanya, isn't it? Like, there's an actual Mortal Kombat character who's in there who is one of the DLC characters. And I was like, oh, well, like, fuck. I wouldn't have bought, like, I don't know if I'm going to buy it yet. But there's no way that I would have bought it if it was just, like, movie characters. Because I don't, like, give a shit. But
yeah. It's like, the worst thing. Like, but I guess I'm kind of a hypocrite at the same time, because I'm like super for the Smash DLC. I guess maybe it's just the fact that, like,
I'm just glad that they're actually going to sell Mewtwo, because they didn't say that originally. And I was like, I'm not going to buy Smash for 3DS, because especially at the time I didn't even have a 3DS. So it was like, this is bullshit. Like, you guys are doing DLC but not selling it. Like, you're the worst human beings.
Yeah, maybe that just makes me a hypocrite, because I love, and maybe I just like, I definitely like Smash more than I like Mortal Kombat. I've never really been a Mortal Kombat fan, but it just wasn't for me, so I guess maybe I'm just like, being an idiot.
I really enjoy like the traditional 2D fighters. Like, I like Tekken a lot, which I guess is more of a 3D fighter, because you can like strafe in. But, like, I really like Tekken. I like Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat's not my favorite, but I really liked Injustice. So I was like, wow, like, same makers, I'll get MKX. Because I didn't actually have MK9, but I've played the older ones. Yeah. And, like, this is one of the few fighting games that are coming out that, like, at least soon. So this was the one I was going to pick up.
Mortal Kombat on PlayStation 2 that was, like, it followed this really stupid storyline, and it wasn't about, it was more like an ARPG sort of thing where you just run, or like a brawler sort of thing where you just run around and beat people up. And it wasn't,
I know
even
what
like,
you're talking about, because I had it for Xbox.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
I rented it like way, you know, Blockbuster days, and I was just like so disappointed.
Yeah, like that was so garbage. The story mode in MK9 and MK10 or MKX are actually like good. So basically, there's a story, and in the story is like these characters fight each other, and you just end up having to play one of the characters. You don't choose which one. It's like you're playing this character for this chapter of the story, and it just plays out like a movie. It's like 2.5 hours.
That's and cool.
It forces you to play a bunch of different characters, which is nice, because like old fighting game stories was like you chose a character and they had a story, and like you just played that character the whole way through. And like as a result, people just never played any of the other characters. Like playing the story is good because it basically lets you like you play every single character, and as a result, you get to figure out who you actually like to play. So
I guess that's a pretty cool approach for it, because, you know, maybe I'm trying to think of a fighting game that I've played. Okay, so like if they did that with Smash, like there's some people I never play in Super Smash Brothers because I just never do, because I have my set of like, you know, 5 or 6 people that I always play as. So if it was like a story campaign where it made me play those characters, who knows, maybe I might like them. So it's kind of a nice way to like,
yeah, and the campaign
try it.
Isn't so long that, like, it's not like you're stuck playing this character for an hour that you don't like. You're stuck playing them for 2 fights. So it's like,
yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. It basically, the story is like a tutorial, basically. And it tutorializes every character in the game.
Yeah. I guess it's not too bad of a way to do things then. Because, I mean, the real meat of this game, and any fighting game, is playing against somebody else, not playing against the computer.
Yeah, basically. But, yeah, MKX is pretty good. I haven't really played anything else but Cities Skylines, which I've talked about anyways, so.
Yeah.
So, let's jump into some news, unless anyone else has anything else to talk about that they want to mention?
No, not really.
No?
Yeah, I'm all good.
You guys see those movie trailers? The Star Wars trailer?
Oh, yeah.
If based on those two trailers, like 20 to 30% of that movie is that black dude breathing real heavy. That's what I've taken away from the trailers, is that Star Wars 7 is just a lot of heavy breathing.
See, I don't know the actor's name for that the main character there, but he was in Attack the Block. I don't know if you guys have seen
that. Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
That movie was incredible. It's like it's easily one of my favorites, to be completely honest. Like, it was just such a fun movie to watch, and I'm like super excited to see this guy jump from something that was, you know, not like super popular or anything, and go to playing in fucking Star Wars, you know? That's like a huge leap. And
well, like a lot of the actors in the new Star Wars are like smaller actors. I mean, the big actors are the actors that came from Star Wars. And to be fair, the only one of them who's any big is Harrison Ford at this point. Like, everyone else didn't really have like a huge career after Star Wars.
Yeah.
So
I just I like the diversity of the cast too. I think it's a nice welcome mix compared to like the other Star Wars and stuff like that. Because you got like the two main people. One of them's just some white girl, and the other one's just some black dude. And it's like, okay, I can get behind this. It's they're trying to not just make it like a bunch of white dudes running around with swords.
Yeah, I'm excited for the new Star Wars. The only thing that I'm finding like, kind of frustrated is that, like, as a nerd, I basically know every movie that I'm seeing for the next, like, 10 years. Because, like, Star Wars is on a release schedule, everything Marvel is on a release schedule, and everything DC is on a release schedule. And so, like, you know the month that all of the big movies are coming out until, like, 2022, and just like fuck.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing that they have everything like so planned out, and it's not like,
well, it's
more
so
of
that
a
they
surprise.
Don't like ever have to compete with each other.
I guess, yeah.
Like even like the World of Warcraft movie comes out. I think it comes out next year because they like said, "Oh, we're gonna release December of 2015," and then Star Wars was like, "No, we're releasing December of 2015," and the Warcraft movie just like got bumped back. Because it's like, there's no fucking point. Everyone who wants to see this movie is going to go see Star Wars instead. So,
yeah.
Like, if it's true. Between those two. And, like, Marvel doesn't want to have to compete with DC, and DC doesn't want to have to compete with Marvel. Because, like, what's the point? But there's such a huge overlap between those two. However, what I would still really like is just to see fucking Justice League drop on the same day as Avengers. Just to, like, see the two big-ass lines of people who just don't like each other for, like, arbitrary reasons. Like, how dare you go see the Avengers?
I think at this point, simply because the Avengers is out first, I feel like there'd be more people in that Avengers line.
I think that more people would be in the Avengers line, but I don't know if, like... But only because of, like, general pop... Like, the general public, basically... Like associates with Avengers, whereas there hasn't been a Justice League movie yet.
But, oh yeah, definitely.
Like the Batman versus Superman movie is the precursor to Justice League, and then I think there's also a couple other movies coming out before Justice League. Like there's an Aquaman movie.
Yay!
Dude, don't trash talk Aquaman. Aquaman's fucking great.
Okay, there. Whatever you say, buddy.
I won't
buddy.
Say anything.
He's one of the only people who can kill Superman.
Okay, anyone can kill Superman.
That's not true, because Superman's only... No, or magic. Superman is vulnerable to magic.
I could just put some kryptonite on my neck, and then Superman wouldn't be able to do anything.
It doesn't quite work like that, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And if he is exposed to black kryptonite, then he just loses his powers forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa!
That's like several DC storylines, is that Superman is like... exposed to black kryptonite. But
so shouldn't he not have powers anymore?
So he'd just be
it's a comic book, so they figure a way. The issue with kryptonite in fucking Superman movies is that every single writer just handles it differently.
Yeah.
Like, they just need a reason for something to happen to Superman, so there's like kryptonite.
It's like go-to thing at this point.
Yeah. It's the magic of the Superman world, except for actual magic, which is also in the Superman world. But you know, don't worry about it. So
yeah, I thought the trailer for that Star Wars movie, going back on track with that, was super awesome. I think my favorite shot was that opening scene with the downed Star Destroyer in the background, like. I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, like the scope of it.
Yeah, I retweeted something and it was like, nothing has looked this good in like the trilogy movies, in like all three of the movies. Nothing was better than this one shot. And I was just like, yeah, I agree with this.
Yeah, I'm excited. Because, so the thing about like the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies is I don't think that they do Star Trek well. Like, I think they're good movies, but like they don't really fit Star Trek. Because they're more like space action movies, whereas like Star Trek is really supposed to be about like space exploration. Like that is the theme of Star Trek. But I think that space action movie like fits Star Wars a lot better.
That's a good way to look at it. Because I like those Star Trek movies, but you're right. They don't really feel like Star Trek. They feel more like just action space movies. But I think something like that is definitely going to fit Star Wars a lot better, because that's kind of what Star Wars is all about.
Yeah, like, Star Wars is a bunch of space action and then some, like, crazy dramatic political story about space countries. And, like, that is basically what the Star Trek movies were, was, like, here's some stuff about the Federation and... like some pretty good writing, but then also like a bunch of action sequences. And yep. that is something that is every Star Wars movie is like a few action sequences and like some grand scheme. Mm-hmm. And that's just not really what Star Trek is or was, at least. So I just feel like the J.J. Abrams like will probably do better with Star Wars than he did with Star Trek.
I hope so, yeah.
Or maybe he's just going to totally reverse it and make like the perfect Star Trek movie. But it's a Star Wars movie. And that would like, be fuck so you, JJ. Frustrating. You motherfucker. Like all of the rage.
Oh my god, that would be really frustrating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be pretty bad.
Either way, I am looking forward to seeing what happens with it, good or bad. Because if it's bad, then we have something else to make fun of besides the last three movies. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm a fan of those ones.
Oh man, I can't stand them. You want a good explanation for those? Watch Red Letter Media.
Oh my god, that's the, like, Mr. the Plinkett. Best thing. I know exactly what you're talking about. He does all Plinkett. Three, and it's like 4 hours long.
It's insane, and I love it.
But... yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good stuff. But yeah, I don't have any more else to say about that. I don't want to make fun of the old movies or anything because Joe likes them.
So, did you guys see the Superman vs. Batman trailer as well?
I've seen pictures. I haven't really watched it, though.
Oh. See, what happened is that it leaked on Friday morning, and yeah. It wasn't supposed to release until Monday, but because it leaked, Warner Bros. Just released the actual thing so people would stop watching it on a cell phone camera that wasn't still. But... I've heard some bad, like, a lot of the things that people were saying are like, oh, this looks dumb, it doesn't explain anything, why doesn't this teaser trailer, like, it doesn't do anything, why isn't it as good as the Star Wars one, like, the Star Wars one is great, and I'm like, okay, the fucking Star Wars one hasn't, like, there's two of them, they haven't explained anything about the Star Wars movie, and, like, even a little bit, whereas, yeah. Like, Superman versus Batman, the plot is right in the fucking title. Superman fights Batman. Like, you know what's gonna happen. So, like, at least, I don't know. The suit looked cool.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a thing. Like, I mean, I knew the movie was a thing, but I didn't know the trailer leaked. And then I saw it once the actual trailer came out. And I watched it. I've heard about the movie. I just didn't really care that much. I don't know. It seems silly to me, but then I actually watched the trailer and I was like, you know what? This might actually be good. Mainly for like that final scene at the end with like the crazy bat suit and just, oh, it was so cool. Yeah. I actually want to see the movie because of this trailer.
I'm pretty excited for like all the DC stuff that they're doing because like this is a precursor to like the Justice League movie as well as like the Suicide Squad movie and everything else that's coming out. And like
Suicide Squad?
Yeah, so Suicide Squad is a DC property where they basically gather up a bunch of the US government like blackmails a bunch of DC villains like the Joker and like the Joker, Harley Quinn,
Harley Quinn's kind of the head of it.
Depends on which Suicide Squad.
I mean for this movie one? Coming up, yeah.
Okay. But
it's kind of been very much hinted at that she's the main head for the movie.
But yeah, so they basically gather up a bunch of supervillains and say like, and then send them on a suicide mission. And if they don't do it, like they'll be executed. And so they have to do the mission. And yeah, and so it's a bunch of like bad guys who are being forced into doing something that isn't even necessarily good because frequently in the DC universe the US government are bad. Because there's like a bunch of secret organizations that are kind of like the CIA and they're always doing like shady shit that's not necessarily good but not necessarily bad.
It's kind of a gray area.
Yeah,
that sounds cool though.
Yeah,
what is it? I think it's DC. I'm gonna Teen Titans.
Yeah, that's DC because it's like a bunch of characters who are not.
What is the group that Beast Boy was originally part of?
I don't know.
It was something like, because we talked about it because we did Teen Titans.
I had just like finished watching it. I forget the name of the group.
We ended up talking about it like way too long. We spent like so much time on it for some reason. But I was like, so Doom Patrol, that's it.
Oh yeah.
Do you think that'll be like a movie or something?
Probably not.
It sounds cool. I mean, it's got a badass name.
It depends on basically like how everything else that Warner Bros. Wants to do, because Warner Bros. Has like the license for DC, and so it just kind of depends on what they end up wanting to do after like this first run at Justice League, because they're already doing a bunch of characters who are like B-list at best. So
yeah,
because they're trying to do like the same thing that Marvel did, where they bring back, like, they popularize a bunch of characters who are not like the A-list, because the A-list, like, everyone knows who they are. You can't make those comics more popular basically at this point.
Yeah. But,
or like even make the characters more popular, like everyone knows who Batman is and Superman and like Wonder Woman and the Flash and like everyone else. Well, not necessarily the Flash. I mean, people know who he is, but he's not like popular. But he's got that TV show because Justice League. I guess continuing on the superhero trend, have any of you guys watched Daredevil on Netflix?
No,
I haven't. I've been hearing a lot of good stuff.
It's really good. Like, hands down the best of all of the superhero TV shows.
Really?
Yeah. It's like if HBO did a superhero TV show.
At least that makes up for the crappy movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're making another one.
Are they making another Daredevil movie?
That's what I've heard. I got into a conversation with somebody about it the other day.
This will make sense as like a precursor, because like this is still done by Marvel, right? So
as long as they put in Evanescence, I'll be happy.
Oh god. Yeah, I think that there's Daredevil 2. But either way, that's I kind of want to go and watch this because it's a Netflix exclusive.
Yeah, and, like, it's pretty good.
Everybody has Netflix. So.
It's pretty violent.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I might actually have to watch it. I was considering it. Like, I had it Netflix open, and I was like, cursor on it, and I was like, do I watch this? And then I decided to go watch some YouTuber instead. But it's like, it's pretty high up on my list of things that I actually want to watch, so I might have to check it out after this. There's a lot of stuff I'm going to need to watch after this, or play. Jeez.
Yeah, I have a lot of free time, so... Well, what I do is I program and watch TV, so, like, I watch all of Daredevil, like, while programming. Big multitasker. Doesn't work out very well sometimes. All right.
While I'm editing, I'm usually watching something. It's just nice to have something on in the background.
Yeah, well, like, the problem that I had with Daredevil was, like, I was trying to program and was just watching it instead. I was like, this is really fucking good. Like, this is better than it should be.
That's good, though. It's good to see actual quality stuff coming out. Because, you know, you had, oh, God, Ghost Rider, you had, like, the first couple Spider-Man movies, which I was not a fan of. Even Amazing Spider-Man, I was like, this is okay. But yeah. Fantastic Four movies were... I hated those.
I think everyone did. I mean, like, they were really bad. They were equally as bad as that Fantastic Four movie that came out just so that Fox could keep the license. Like, did you hear about this movie?
No, they, like, ruined Ultron for me.
In the 90s, Fox had to make a Fantastic Four movie in order to keep the Fantastic Four license, because they were obligated to make a Fantastic Four movie, like, legally, or else they would have to give up the license. And so they made a movie and printed it straight to VHS, and then just left the VHS tapes in a warehouse and never sold them.
Oh my god.
and like they put like no budget into it. They hired a bunch of actors and were like, yeah, this is gonna be a huge like blockbuster hit. It's Fantastic Four. And like they were garbage actors, like literally the worst. And they like just put like really half-assed practical effects in, but like super half-assed to the point where they don't work. Like they spent like $10,000 making this movie over a weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You can find bootlegs of it sometimes.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch this. It sounds incredible. Oh man, yeah, the pictures, the screenshots of this.
Yeah, it's nice. The Fantastic Four.
Came out in 1994.
Yep.
I need to find this movie, like...
Yeah, like, it's amazing. But...
Oh my god, just the trailer alone.
Yeah, like, it was literally made just so they could keep the license. And, like, like the way the thing looks, like, he's all fucked up. Like, he doesn't look like the thing. Whatever. This is enough superhero talk. Let's go on to video games. Let's talk about some video games this week.
Yeah.
So, did you guys see the Tony Hawk 5?
The got little leaked? Picture?
Yeah. Listen, I'm just saying that should be the name of the next Tony Hawk. Tony should Hawk just be Tony Hawk, Hawk 5. Everything else didn't exist. Not Pro Skate, or not Underground, not, God, what was the one? There was
American
one.
American Wasteland.
It was the eighth, no, it was the eighth Tony Hawk game, and they tried to actually work the number 8 into the title, which is like...
Project 8?
Yep, that's the one, Project 8, and it would be really awkward... Because if they, like, just disowned all of the other games that, like, sometimes tried to actually work a number in. It should just be Tony Hawk 5. That's it. Nothing else ever happened.
I'm, like, super weary about it because I love Tony Hawk's up until Underground 2. Everything after that. And I played everything after that.
Yeah, and, like, if it's made by that company that did the remaster of Pro Skater last year, like, that was really bad. Like, like it didn't control right. Like, it didn't feel like Pro Skater. So, if they're doing this one, like, I just don't want to play it at all because they don't know how to get the feel right, so...
Yeah. I'm just hoping for, like, you know, a classic Tony Hawk game to come out of this one, which is some nicer graphics. That's, they don't need to really change anything. Keep it the same. Just give us more stuff to do in the game and make it look nicer. That's all you have to do, and it will sell like crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's such a strong template for Tony Hawk games that, like, it'd be hard to fuck it up.
Yeah, and I bet they will.
Yeah. I really hope they don't. But they will. Because everyone's fucking up lately.
Yeah. Well,
not everyone, like a, but... Not
like
everyone.
A trend with AAA games at the moment.
There's
especially
a lot of games
last
that have
year.
Come out.
Sorry.
Nintendo's not fucking up. We can at least say... Well, at least at making games.
Yeah, their games actually work when they release. So that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
They just put the disc in and it doesn't just, like, catch on fire.
There isn't, like, day one patches.
Well, I mean,
they're
sometimes
they're fucking
there are.
Up at the marketing.
Yeah, like we're years into the life cycle of the Wii U, and there's still people who don't know it exists.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, oh, I have a Wii U, and they're like, why do you play Wii games? I was like, no, it's a Wii U. It's not a Wii. It's a different thing. And they're like, what? I was like, it's a new console. It's like the Xbox One, but not the Xbox One. Has a big touchscreen on it. I'm like, what? I don't understand. I was like, listen, it's good. You should buy one, okay?
And then
it has
and then
video
you,
games
then you walk
on
away
it.
And they're you walk away and then they're like, that guy's fucking crazy. That system came out like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Fucking. Yeah. I mean, there's people who I know who are in the target audience. Like, if you consider Nintendo as people who are targeting children as, like, the family company, I know fucking, like, 12-year-olds who are like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no, you're the person who they're marketing to. Why don't you know about this? Like, you like video games, apparently, but don't know this exists. Like, ah. Yeah, well, I have a feeling that kids don't like video games. They just like Call of Duty.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, the Wii U, that's fantastic. That's a video game system right there.
It is. It's beautiful.
It really is. The games, man.
Yeah, now if only they released Monster Hunter 4 on it.
Just wait.
Only they would do a lot of things.
I know. Well, they have, like, a lot of, like... All right. Let's just jump to Guitar Hero now so that I can, like, ring the bell. Everyone, like, mark it down on your calendars because there's a third-party title coming out for the Wii U. Like, big deal. It's happened, guys. There's a third-party game for the Wii U. Oh, my God. Guitar Hero Skylanders. Live. No, Guitar Hero is going to be for the Wii U.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it would be the, if it wasn't, it would be the only platform not getting a version because it's coming out for PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and phones and tablets. So if it didn't come out for the Wii U, you'd be in real trouble.
Yeah.
But
that would be embarrassing.
Well, I mean, the thing is that this thing would literally run on anything because it's a full motion video game or a full motion video game, right? And so the only thing that you're really rendering in real time is like, or well, not rendering in real time because I mean, you're rendering the video, but like the only thing that you're rendering that is a 3D like scene, I guess, is the guitar, like the guitar board, like the fretboard,
yeah,
for the notes. And so, like, literally a phone could run this. Like, that would not be a problem. And that's why it's going to come out on phones. Because, like, phones are really good at playing video. And, I mean, the Wii U would be in real trouble if it couldn't play video. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm personally, like, super excited for this new wave of music games coming back. Guitar Hero Live, Rock Band 4. Because, like, I put countless hours into these games. Like, I owned almost every single one. I'm like a huge fan of them, and Guitar Hero Live just looks really cool. It looks like a lot of fun. The live crowd thing is interesting.
Yeah, the implementation of that is really cool because basically they sent out like a guy with a camera and like recorded his movements as he recorded like one of the two scenes, because they recorded everything twice, right? Like, mm-hmm. They record it where everyone's like, yeah, way to go, like, super into it. And then they recorded it where everyone's, like, booing you while you're on the stage. And in order to record the second one, they had to track the guy as he recorded the first one and then recreate the motions perfectly using a robot, like, using, like, a mechanical arm that would just perform the exact same motions so that, like, everyone... They do this blur effect, but basically they can't jump the camera, right? Like, the camera always has to be making the same motions.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would, like, look all fucked up and jumpy. But, yeah, like, the new Guitar Hero looks pretty cool. The only thing that's kind of... I don't consider it a disappointment only because they're changing the hardware, like, significantly enough that it makes sense, but there's no backwards compatibility, whereas with Rock Band 4... you're going to use your old instruments if you have them, and all of your DLC will work.
Yeah.
Which is just not the case for Guitar Hero.
Which is kind of upsetting. I mean, I do like the idea behind the new Guitar Hero controller. I think it's really cool. But I don't know. I'm probably going to get Rock Band, to be completely honest.
In the case of Guitar Hero, it makes sense to just make something different from Rock Band. Because, like, the last Guitar Hero game that came out was just Rock Band, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't work out for Activision. It wasn't it wasn't a big thing. The thing about Guitar Hero is that, like, it's about focusing on guitars. And so if you just make that experience really good, and offer something different, like different enough from Rock Band, then it doesn't have to compete. It can be its own thing. Like, they're similar, but they're not necessarily competing, like, at least for niche markets. But when they went to be exactly like Rock Band, like, they never got, they never ended up getting the same community that Rock Band had, where they were like, people weren't constantly buying DLC for Guitar Hero like they were with Rock Band, and like, they just didn't get the same kind of community built up around that last Rock, or that last Guitar Hero game that Rock Band had, because they just didn't have like the base already.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess if you put it that way, it's, I think this is a step in a much better direction for them, then, now that you think about it. Because, like, this is much more focused on just playing guitar. I mean, it's even trying to simulate it down to, like, even being on stage, so.
Yeah, think, and also, the controller is cool because it isn't just, like, the five standard buttons. It's three on the top and then three on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they were doing gameplay demos all week, which is why I actually wanted to talk about this week, because, like, GameSpot was out there playing it. Polygon was out there playing it, Giant Bomb, like, all of the big, like, IGN, basically all of the big, like, gaming news sites were out there actually playing it, and, like, the response was overwhelmingly positive. It's like, yeah, there's all of these things, like, they're not gonna have backwards compatibility, you're gonna have to get a new guitar, but the new guitar is better than the old one, and, like, provides a significantly different experience in play, that it makes it not feel like it's the same game. So
yeah, I think that's also pretty important, the fact that it doesn't feel like the same game.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they had changed the controller, and that was the big thing. I was like, well, it's the same game, but there's a live audience. But now that I know that the controller's changed a bit and it's changed up more, I'm a little bit more like, oh, okay, this could be cool.
Yeah, like, the thing about the new Rock Band is that it's just another Rock Band game, but for a new platform, which is, like, perfect if they just do one every time that, like, there's going to be a new huge set of consoles. Like, if the next generation comes out, they could do another Rock Band game. But if they're not going to, like, change it mechanically, then you can't do, like, five Rock Band games a generation, just do DLC.
Yeah. Whereas, like, and I think that's what they mainly did.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did after the first three Rock Bands. Because it's super expensive. The thing is that, like, it's really expensive to make one of those games, especially Rock Band, because you don't have just one plastic guitar. You have two plastic guitars and a drum kit and a mic. And they added, a keyboard at some point.
Yeah,
I don't think that's coming back.
And like
that super pro guitar.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, retail won't put up with that shit because that takes up way too much goddamn space.
Oh yeah.
Like, for how much
too much space in your home too.
Yeah, but in the case of retail, it's like, we could have another product here that sells, but now we have to carry all of these fucking instruments. Like they're expensive to buy and they're expensive to store. So, like, retail won't want to deal with that shit. So, yeah, like, you could, at some point, it was like, we could keep making these games, and, like, they'll sell worse and worse every time, but we can't keep making these instruments, because they cost way too much, and no one wants to have them, like, in their store.
So I think the backwards compatibility with Rock Band 4 is a really good idea. Because a lot of people already have this shit, or you can get it really cheap.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for both. Like, well, I guess not, like, excited because I'm not, like, super into them, but
yeah,
I know that I'm going to end up at least playing Rock Band because someone, like, me or one of my friends is going to buy it and have to just, like, bite the bullet. Probably one of my friends, because I'm the one who bought the Wii U and Smash Bros. And Mario Kart. And probably Mario Party.
It sounds like you're going to be the one biting the bullet.
No, I've already done it once. I'm not doing it again. Someone else has to do it.
This is going to be amazing for, like, cons and stuff like that, like MAGFest, SGC, Too Many Games. It's going to be incredible to, like, go there with a bunch of people and just like cycle through playing with people. Like, I think it's gonna be super fun.
It's gonna take
it to like a new level, at least for like myself personally, because when I used to play this, we just had my one friend's house that we would all go to, like just tons of people. We would just go over there, play it, have a good time and shit like that. But now, like, the equivalent of that for me is going to conventions and meeting, you know, hang out with people who do YouTube stuff. So that's like the next step for me.
Yeah. The other thing that's actually nice about Guitar Hero, they haven't talked about maybe doing something similar for Rock Band, which is disappointing, but with Guitar Hero, they are doing like this channel thing. They haven't really talked about the monetization of it, but basically like on the channels, it just plays the music video and then like has the guitar on it, like, but it's just playing the music video, because obviously it's super expensive to like rent these venues and then do all this filming, and like every time that you want to do DLC, like that's crazy, that's expensive to like just add new songs in. Whereas like with the old 3D avatars, that was easier, I guess. But they're doing like these channel things, and you can just join a channel and it'll like feed you songs that are not necessarily in like the on demand list of songs. But they said that they're gonna have like premium channels that you have to pay for, and one of the things that will be interesting to see is like, how do you pay for it? Is it like you pay $1 and then you have it for like the night? Because then that would make like Guitar Hero like a much better party game than Rock Band, maybe, in the case that like you buy Rock Band, or like you buy Guitar Hero, and then instead of like piling up DLC when you have a bunch of people over, you just like buy a channel for $1 for the day and then like play it. And then when everyone's gone, like, you put Guitar Hero away and stop playing it, because no one plays it by them. Well, very few people play it by themselves.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they handle that.
Yeah, they said that they're going to talk about more at E3. Like, they're going to announce the song list and, like, the monetization model for the channels. But the channels are a neat idea. It'll be interesting to see if Rock Band has something similar, because if Rock Band had something where it's like pay for X amount of hours and you just have all the songs, like that's what I would want to do. Like, I would never buy the DLC. I would just pay like $5 for the night and then like have all of the fucking songs.
Yeah.
Like, they've announced some of the bands that are going to be in Guitar Hero Live already.
Yeah, but they haven't announced like the bulk of it. Mm-hmm. So
I'm really, like, how the hell are they going to have Skrillex?
Yeah, who knows?
Because there's no guitar, you know? They'll just translate. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see, like, you know, some, like, Black Keys is good. Gary Clark Jr. is good. You know, Green Day, MCR. Get a little, like, old school, early 2000s emo in there. I'm fine with it. I think Fall Out Boy too. So yeah, there's just another.
And like a lot of the video footage that's been shown of Live is like the like stand-in emo cover band for Fall Out Boy, and like the one guy like totally looks like that guy. I don't know what his fucking name is. The one who with the black hair and the hoodie. You're like, yeah, that's him. And then he like turns around and you look at his face a couple of times. And you're like, oh, that's not him. Because it's just a dude, like, because he's like just a dude in a black hoodie. Yup, that looks like him.
Apparently the band that's on stage with you is called Broken Tide. They're an actual band. I'm on their website right now, the Guitar Hero Live site. And it's an actual band. I kind of thought it was just all like a setup thing, wasn't a real band, but I guess it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the game, they're playing, like, the real music, so...
Yeah, yeah.
It's just for the video. I wonder if
one of their songs will be in Guitar Hero.
Probably.
I'd assume so.
Probably one of the, like, upsides to doing this gig is that you get a song in Guitar Hero.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's done well for some people. Just look at the Dropkick Murphys.
They were already pretty popular among, like, a specific crowd. And, like, that specific song that you're talking about is what, Shipping Up to Boston? That was already, like, that song already was getting mainstream popularity, which is probably what got it into Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Dropkick Murphys. They're not very good, like, within that genre.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, within the genre of, like, punk music, they're not very good. Like, if you think that you like the Dropkick Murphys, you should probably go listen to, like, Fucked Up. Because those guys, they're like the saviors of hardcore punk for me. They're not even like, it's hard to even describe them as hardcore, but they're like the Pink Floyd of punk music.
It says that they're a real band, but I actually can't find anything from them online.
It's probably like some like random like hometown thing that is around where the producers of Guitar Hero live, and they like know them and they've watched their stuff. Maybe. So they're like, hey, you guys are good. You want to be on Guitar Hero? And then they were obviously like, yeah.
Yeah, shit.
I don't know many people that would be like, no, that's dumb. But yeah, it's probably some small band. Small local band from wherever Guitar Hero is located.
Talk about getting lucky, though. Like,
So besides the Guitar Hero stuff, let's talk about some Monster Hunter. Real quick,
Monster Hunter.
Capcom announced a new Monster Hunter game for the 3DS.
What? Oh yeah,
Monster Hunter Stories. It's a Monster Hunter game that is a traditional RPG.
And you know what? I'm gonna play the shit out of it.
Yep, me too.
Like, I'm not a huge Monster Hunter fan. Like, I have 4, and I played quite a few hours of it already. I've definitely sunk some time into it.
Have you played it on like the new 3DS, or was it on the old one? Yeah, I've only played it on the new one. I don't know how it would play on the old one, because like you need the C-stick.
On like the original 3DS, like the first 3DS.
You could probably play it with like Gyro or something on the original.
They have like a button that you press and it locks on to the target, which was like something that they introduced in Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for 3DS, because like there was no C-stick at the time, right? And then you controlled the camera with the touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
It really wasn't that bad. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't unplayable.
Right.
It just took a lot of getting used to. But, and then I only had it.
Just like how Bubsy isn't unplayable.
Hey, that game is not unplayable. Just
exactly.
Just not good.
Exactly.
But it is definitely better on the new 3DS. Most things are on the new 3DS, but yeah, I'm excited for this. I mean, I want to play it because I don't know. Monster Hunter is a really cool world, so I think something that's going to focus more on story might actually be pretty cool.
Yeah, especially since
that might be more of interest to me.
Well, like Monster Hunter 4, they kind of start to expand story stuff a lot, which is something that they haven't done in 3. Like, the story for Monster Hunter up until 4 was you're in a village and like you have to do some stuff, like you have to kill a big monster that threatens the village. Like that's just it. Oh, and we just lost Joe.
No.
There's a problem with this call.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. Well, it says it was like a connection problem. Well, let's talk about some more Monster Hunter, and if I have to, then I'll have to redo, I'll have to edit this, and that'll be a pain in the ass, but whatever.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think this is definitely something that I'm going to be getting right away. Maybe I shouldn't say that. It's something that I definitely want to get right away, but I kind of want to see some more first, like some actual gameplay, because I don't think they actually showed gameplay, did they? No, it was just this cinematic that was released.
My Skype crashed.
Oh, well then. I was like, oh man, I don't know if Joe just had to like leave in an emergency and I'm just gonna have to like edit all of this shit.
Nope. My Skype just decided to crash.
That's Skype for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably because I muted my microphone.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. I had to mute my microphone, and then I turned back, and Skype had crashed, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but the new Monster Hunter is looking pretty cool.
Definitely.
It
would be nice if it was on Wii U.
For the little, like, chibi-style, like, RPG? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's a really fast-paced game, like, really intense sprite graphics, way too intense for the 3DS. Like, you could never display them properly. So, you know, Wii U. But, what I'm hoping is that it gets more people interested in Monster Hunter, because Monster Hunter is a game that is, like, fantastic, and, like, it just deserves a bigger audience. Especially considering, like, how Bloodborne and, like, the Dark Souls series is doing. Like, the Souls series is doing really well, and there's still so many people that I know who are like, I like the Souls series, but, like, I'm kind of over, like, this setting, and, like, it's kind of dark for no reason. Like, it's a grim, dark game, and, like, I like to play something brighter. I'm like, play Monster Hunter. Like, it's harder than Dark Souls. It's just the best part of Dark Souls, which is the big fights. Like, if that's the part of Dark Souls that you're into, is the big fights, then Monster Hunter is way better for you than Dark Souls. The thing that Dark Souls has over Monster Hunter is that it has, like, a world to explore that Monster Hunter doesn't have. But, like, if you're into the fights, then Monster Hunter is so much better than Dark Souls. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see Monster Hunter kind of grow and expand.
Definitely, because I know it's, like, super popular in, like, Japan.
Yeah, it's huge in Japan.
But, like, you walk down, like, Japan Street, and just all of the billboards are Monster Hunter. Like, it's huge.
Damn.
That it needs that's to get, just not I the feel case. Like it could I don't know why you issue. Said that. You don't know that.
Well, I mean, we can just dream.
We could dream. It is a really big thing in Monster Hunter, though. Like, people get together in, like, cafes with their 3DSs and play Monster Hunter. That's why Monster Hunter is always, like, going to be on 3DS from now on, because it just, it does so much better in Japan as a portable game than it does as a console game. But in North America, like, it would do so much better as a console game than a portable game.
It really would, yeah.
But, yeah. So let's jump on to this last thing that I want to talk about, which was the Destiny expansion.
Ooh.
So they've announced some of the content, or lack of content, for House of Wolves. The big news about the Destiny expansion is that it is going to feature a cooperative mode where you play against the AI in some kind of wave-based combat. That's how Bungie phrased it. It's horde mode.
Horde mode.
It's horde.
The
mode.
Whole game. The whole game at this point is basically horde mode.
Yeah.
But now they're putting in a horde mode, even though the rest of the game is horde mode, basically, where you just happen to change rooms. But whatever.
I used to love that game, and there was one day where I just instantly dropped interest from it. When the expansion comes out, I'll probably start playing it again, but I don't know for how long.
So the thing about this expansion is, and this is the bigger news than horde mode, because it's like, great, you're adding horde mode to a game, like, whatever, every game has horde mode. This expansion also doesn't have a raid.
What?
This expansion has no raid.
Is that what they actually said?
Yes. There's no raid in the next expansion. There's a raid later in the year, but is not part of this expansion. And this expansion marks the end of the season pass. So that means that the next raid is in its own DLC that you have to pay even more for.
I'd bet money that was on purpose.
That's weird, because the leaked images of House of Wolves DLC showed a House of Wolves raid that would take place in the Reef.
Yeah,
so Bungie, it's weird that it's not included.
Bungie specifically said there is no raid, and that it will be coming out later in the year, like in the fall.
Yeah, but will it be coming out later in the fall as an add-on to that expansion, and you won't have to pay for it if you have House of Wolves, or will it come out later in the year in a new expansion?
It just said that it doesn't have
Hopefully it's not the latter.
It seems like it would probably be the latter. But
whatever.
House of Wolves has no new raid. It just has the new play area, which is the Reef, which is going to expand Destiny's not existent story.
So I don't know. That game, the game is probably one of the best shooters I've ever played when it comes to feel and mechanics. But when it comes to gameplay and story, there is nothing.
Well, like, the gameplay is perfect in that game.
Yeah, it feels amazing. That there's
just no content. Like, it's the most...
It's the worst part about it, is that it's one of the best shooters to play, and it feels amazing, but there's nothing to do in it.
Yeah, and, like, the raids are really cool, but the issue that the raids have, and this is a... The issue that the raids have is that they're not, like, the same scope of... MMO raids, like, they're not the same size as the WoW raids. The WoW raids, when they come out, is 2 months of content. Like, people play them and don't beat them for 2 months because, like, they're that hard and they're huge. Like, there's a bunch of bosses. Whereas the raids in Destiny are pretty short and people are beating them within 2 hours. Like, the people who are beating the WoW raids in the first week are the people who don't go to work. Like, the WoW raid's out, and they just sit down and play it until they beat it, and, like, non-stop, over and over and over and over, and, like, but it still takes them a week, whereas if those people were doing the same thing in Destiny, they'd be done in an hour and a half, because they've been done in an hour and a half, so it's just, like, the raids aren't enough content, and then to not have a new raid in the next expansion means that you have, like, an hour of content, because like, that's what they're the story gonna takes. Add,
like, a few more story missions, and that's it. And it's like,
yeah, and if it's anything like the last time that they added a few more story missions, it's an hour.
Like, you pop in World of Warcraft without paying any money for expansions or anything, and you get a lot of content, a lot of quests, a lot of story, a lot of stuff to do. You pop in Destiny with no expansions, you get maybe like 15 to 20 hours of gameplay, and that's it.
And it's the same gameplay over and over for the 15 hours. And I mean, like, the thing is it's the same in WoW, but they, like, progress you through slower. Like, you gain new abilities slower in WoW than you do in Destiny. And then the thing about WoW is that there's enough story and, like, world building and content that
you visit so many different variation. Places constantly.
Whereas,
like, it's like you start off in your little town and you do a few missions, you gain a couple new abilities,
and then you go to the, like, slightly bigger town, and then you go to the capital, and then you're going, like, all over the world.
Yeah, it the just kind of sends you in different directions, and it's kind of natural because, like, you do all the quests in your little town, and then the last main quest in that town's like, oh, well, can you, like, go to this next town and, like, get this thing for me? And then you go there, and you're like, oh, there's a ton of more side missions here I can do. And it just kind of naturally happens. With Destiny, it just kind of pushes you in that direction. It's like, here's a mission on this world. Oh, you finish that one? Here's another one. Oh, okay, look, you can go to the next planet now.
And there's not even any, like, coherent story in Destiny is the thing. Like, you're just going around doing things for no apparent reason, and they're just flagged as main story quests. Like, that's how Destiny's story plays out. It's just like, this is a story quest. How it is actually connected to the story, we don't know. Go do it.
Sadly, from, like, what I heard from back, like, basically people talking and, like, looks into, like, the beta footage and all that of it, seems like there was a lot of, like, story in that game originally, and then crap happened and it all had to be rewritten, and then we got what we got, and it sucks.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think I've said this before, but, like, Destiny last year should have been the game of the year. Like, it had everything to do it. Like, it was, like, Bungie's first game. It had billions of dollars. It had a huge marketing budget. It had, like, a huge amount of development time. It had, like, basically the best console shooter. You cut
that
out.
That game had been in works since Halo. Oh, I was saying that game has been in works since Halo 3, just to, like, point, like, out how long that game's been in development.
Like, that game had all of the time and money that it needed, and it had some of the best talent in the world, and they made a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Like, They got the shooting down right. They got character down, character design down right. Like, that has some of the best art of any console game. Like, it is the game to buy for your next-gen console if you actually want to show off graphics. Yeah. But it has no content. Like, they just didn't there's nothing in the game.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you spent a decade to make, like, no content. Like, you've made nothing.
I feel like it's all been ripped out and all of it has been turned into DLC. Because I know they want this game to last for a while. Like,
well, they've already said that they're making the second one.
Yeah, they wanted it to last 11 years, but now they're making Destiny 2, and I'm happy with that. If they were to make Destiny 2 and it would implement the mechanics that No Man's Sky is bringing into the gaming industry, I would love it.
I think they're pretty significantly different games. I don't think it would be fair to push that on the that game.
Yeah, but it would still be like, imagine being able to do quests on one world and then hop in a spaceship, fly
I think that what they need to do is just build out more of a world. Like, they need to structure that game more like WoW, which is strange, but they do. Like, they need to, like, create areas in that game that have very specific stories, increase the number of NPCs. Like, they have some of, like, the best voice actors. Like, they hired legit, like, Hollywood actors to do voice acting, and it's just, like, the gun vendor. Like, you're voicing the gun vendor. You have, like, 10 lines of dialogue, and it's like, what the shit? Like, you have 10 characters in this game, and 8 of them are vendors. Like, this is so dumb.
It's... They definitely need to expand the worlds, because it, like... When you can drive... When you go to Earth or Venus, and you can drive around the whole playable area in 5 minutes, it's like, yay! It needs to be bigger.
Yeah, there's, I mean, if it just, like, went open world.
That's one of the most disappointing things about that, is that, like, you have all these different planets, but all of them are extremely small. They're, like, the size of one level in Halo.
Yeah, like, the thing about Destiny is it feels a lot like Warframe, except that Warframe is free and also a lot better.
Yeah. Like, I have friends who play the shit out of that and say that game is amazing.
Yeah, and, like, it and Destiny are so similar, like, in concepts. Mechanically, they're pretty different in that one's a first-person shooter and one's a third-person shooter, but, like...
Yeah.
Like, structure-wise, those games are very similar.
I just never bothered picking the game up. I had heard bad things, and I was just like, you know what? I don't... I don't even want to.
I made the same mistake I always make, where all of my friends are playing, and they're like, you should get Destiny, and I bought it, and then none of them were fucking playing it anymore. I was like, you fucking assholes, like, you pieces of shit. I get to level 20, and you all quit the game, and they're like, yeah, it's not very good. And I was like, yeah, I told you it wasn't very good, and you're like, no, man, you gotta fucking play it with us and get to level 20 so you can do all this content. And I was like, got there, and they're like, no, no, the content's bad. I was like, you fucking assholes.
Yeah, I can't say I got my money out of it, but by the time that I was getting my money out of it, it was definitely boring and repetitive. I put over 300 hours into that game.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah. Dude, that's what I put into, like, Monster Hunter in a year, and that game has content. How did you do it, Joe? Actually, how did you do it?
Maybe it wasn't 300. Maybe it was 200, but...
300 is, like, a lot.
So it's 200.
Yeah,
yeah,
but, like, I mean, there's a 50% difference in that. 300 is 50% more than 200.
Really? Yeah, it is.
I know my math.
I know my math.
Yeah, my degree is in basically math. I have a minor in mathematics. All right, so I don't think there's anything else that I really gathered up to talk about. We talked about way more than I thought we were actually going to anyways. Because a bunch of stuff, like, came up in the last couple of days and was just like, okay, well, fuck, we're talking about all of this stuff too. But I don't think any of it was as big as no raid in new Destiny content and then Guitar Hero Live. Guitar Hero Live is, like, the big thing. Should be good. So, Steve, why don't you tell the people where they can find you on the internet?
You can find me at mainly Twitter, @SteveVidya. I tweet way too much, And that has links that go out to all the other little things that I do, like the Late Night Lounge, and that's pretty much all, and the podcast that I do. So pretty much just find me on Twitter, and you can get to all the things that I do, and it'll be a wonderful time. You can follow me, and we can have very intellectual conversations about memes and things. It'll be great.
Yeah, you like to talk about the maymays.
The maymays all day. I almost just said all day day, and I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do that.
Oh, what a lost opportunity! All right, Joe, what are you working on this week?
Working on a new cut content video and hopefully a channel trailer.
All right, I guess I might as well say what I'm working on too. I'm going to be releasing this podcast. I mean, that's a thing. But I mean, if you're listening to this, that's what happened. But after the recording of this podcast, I'm going to edit it.
Ooh,
by which I mean run a compressor on the audio so it like sounds more balanced. And then I'm going to probably stream a couple of times this week on ReRez TV, twitch.tv/ReRez TV. And do some game development stuff on Hookshot Harry. We're starting to get some, like, not final assets, but colored assets. Like, better than the fucking squares that I've been using.
Like, I just did the math. Definitely over 300 hours in Destiny.
Oh man. How?
Just on my main character, there's 12 days of total playtime.
Oh, Jesus.
And I have two other characters.
And WoW, on my main character, I have 2 years and 3 months and days of logged in playtime.
Oh my god.
Yeah. A decade. Over 2 years of my life was put into that game in the decade that it was out. A fifth of my time.
Wow.
A fifth of my time.
That's insane.
Yeah. most of it came in like the first 3 years that I in the first 3 years that I played WoW, I clocked like a year and a half in.
My god,
I was in high school and I didn't go a lot, so
good job, Ryan.
I was too smart to have to go, and then I stopped when I got to university because I was like, oh shit, I actually have to like go to class, fuck. But yeah, I'm going to edit this podcast, do some streams on ReRez TV, and then I'm thinking about maybe putting together a tutorial for Unity and releasing that on the YouTubes.
Cool.
Because that's what I want to do with my YouTube channel this year, is this podcast and, like, game tutorials. So.
Learn how to make Mega Man Zelda in Unity.
Well, no, we'll make something. We'll make something else. We'll not make.
Learn
Mega
how to
Man
make
Zelda.
World of Warcraft in Unity.
Well, that's maybe a little too big. I was gonna say like learn how to do a spline animation. Like
learn
you
how
know,
to make a ball bounce.
Well, that's too easy. But spline animations, ball bouncing is set the bounciness property in the physics material. If it's higher, it bounces more.
Yay.
But yeah, thanks for watching and or listening, and thanks for Steve for coming on.
Yeah, it's been
thanks
fun.
Steve Vidya.
Yeah,
we'll
mm.
we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
See ya.